Welcome to another episode of Open Doors, Conversations with Heart of the Father. I'm your host, Jacqueline Harper. Open Doors is a conversation about inviting God's love, presence, and power into our hearts. We are friends and teammates from Heart of the Father Ministries who share in the mission of setting captive hearts free through Unbound Ministry. We're so glad you could join us.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Heart of the Father's Open Doors podcast. I'm Rachel Lozano, and today Neil and I are going to read and reflect on Jesus's encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well. Welcome, Dad.
It's great to do this with you and to be reflecting on this scripture together.
And it's a powerful scripture, and I think sometimes we take it for granted, but when you take the time to really read and reflect, it can really touch your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So in preparation for this podcast, Neil and I both read the scripture, John 4, 5 through 42, which I'll read for you in a moment. We also watched the scene from The Chosen where Jesus meets the woman at the well. We will include a link to the clip in the show notes, and I encourage you to watch it. I cried through almost the entire clip. So it is very powerful and really brings to life the story of Jesus meeting the woman at the well.
It's one of the most moving moments of all the TV series.
So, so even if you've seen it, I'm like, watch it again.
Right?
And it really captures beautifully Jesus's tenderness towards the woman. So as I read John 4, 5 to 42 now, I invite you to listen and ask the Lord how he is speaking to you through this passage. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with the Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking to a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, Could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man is really the Savior of the world.
It's an amazing story of conversion. You know, this reading is read in the middle of Lent, the liturgies during Lent. I think we heard it last Sunday. And Lent is a time of preparation for renewal of faith, to really renew your commitment and renew that internal radical conversion that you may have experienced in the past, but needs to come to life again. It's a story about how God pursues us, and it's a story about how he reveals himself to us. He reveals his names to us. He reveals something about himself to us, and then we respond. And the beautiful thing about this story is that after she responds, after she finds he's the Messiah, she goes and tells everybody. And that's why we do these podcasts, because whatever good gift that the Lord has given us, we want to pass on to others. During the season of Lent, many times, I think most of us know that like there's this great grace for almsgiving and sacrifice and fasting and increased prayer. But that is all reflection of the internal conversion, the gratitude that we have in our heart for what he's given us. And I think if we're just doing external things without a connection to this conversion of heart and without a connection to Jesus, then all these things can be empty. You know, I can look back at a couple of times that I prepared for Easter and I missed it. You know, I did some of the externals, but I didn't have a heart pursuit of God. I just want to invite you to, just as we reflect on this woman and Jesus' pursuit of her, I want to invite you to just allow that heart pursuit of God to just rise up within you, so that whatever you're doing to prepare will be an expression of gratitude and your deep searching for more and more of who he is. So I'm going to share a couple things about this passage. I'm going to turn it over to Rachel. I find it very interesting that a couple chapters before, Jesus has an encounter with Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to him at night, and he wants to understand. He wants to understand about the miracles, and he wants Jesus to speak to his head, you know, and just answer the questions. And he ends up remaining confused. And at the end, it says, you know, Jesus says, you are a teacher of Israel, and you don't understand these things? Meaning that the longing in Jesus' heart is like, that he would understand these things. He's devoted his life to study, and he wants them to understand these things. And when he goes to the woman at the well, it's just a whole different context. He goes to her. He's waiting at the well for her, and it's in the middle of the day. And then he sends his disciples away, so he's basically alone, just so it's one-on-one. And he breaks the ice by saying, you know, would you give me a drink? The funny thing is, you go through the passage, you find out that she never gave him a drink.
I didn't even notice that.
You know, he was thirsty, wanted a drink. In the middle of the day, she had a bucket of water. But the important thing wasn't drink. The important thing was he made himself vulnerable asking her. And it kind of shook her. You know, you're asking me, a Samaritan and a woman, for a drink? And it's like, she was provoked. Then the dialogue develops, and he asks questions, she asks questions. I think the most important thing is that she asks a series of questions. And that's a sign of a heart that's seeking God, that's seeking truth. You know, the first question I already mentioned, how can he ask me for a drink? And then he talked about living waters, and she said, where can you get these living waters? And then she asks, and this is really, I think, the turning point. She says, sir, give me living waters that I might never be thirsty again. She didn't really know what she was asking, but Jesus had revealed himself in through the image of living waters. And then he goes on to speak, and he reveals himself as a prophet. And it's all building and building and building. And then finally, she brings up the Messiah, because she knows the Messiah is really the answer to all these things they're talking about in terms of worship. And then he says, I am he, which is so close to, you know, so close to what Moses heard in the burning bush. I am, you know, and Jesus identified with the Eternal One. And so it's this process. And for each of us, it's a process. And no matter where you are with the Lord right now, there's more. There's more of him to know. There's more of him to encounter, to go deeper. Maybe today, as we share, there's going to be something that you're going to hear the Holy Spirit whisper, like, I am. I am the Messiah. I am the one that you seek. I am the one that you need. I am the one of today, not simply yesterday, but today and forever. But I'm very interested. I talked to Rachel a little bit about this passage, and she's just so enthusiastic about this woman. And I would love to hear some of what you have to share, Rachel.
I'd love to. So I think what struck me, and obviously having watched The Chosen clip too, I feel like that informs my reading of this. And I always think it's so great to use that imagination the Lord's given us to imagine what this looked like and what it felt like and what were the emotions that were going on when they're saying these words. Because we can read these words and they don't have to carry as much emotion or power, but they do. And we know that because of some of the things you were just sharing, Dad, that he orchestrated that meeting to be there, just the two of them. And that alone is just so powerful and stirring. And then kind of informs everything else that happens during this passage. And one of the things that really struck me was his invitation that he wasn't in a rush. He asked her questions. He allowed her to ask him questions. And in that, it allows her defenses to come down. I'm sure when she first encounters this strange man at the well, when she purposely goes there to avoid all the other women because of the, you know, that she's had multiple husbands and is now with a man who's not her husband, I'm sure she's, you know, they don't want to be around her. She carries a lot of shame. And so it's jarring that he's there. And I'm sure her defenses are up. And so he asked her for the drink, like you talked about that. So inviting her, making that connection, and then allows her to speak her mind too, that mm-hmm. she asks questions, but also challenges him a little bit. You know, why are you asking me for a drink? Why? What about the Jews saying where we need to worship and then where we worship isn't right, and how hurt she's been? You can tell she's hurt by that. And he allows her to speak, to interact with him, and just keeps inviting her. And I think about how he does that with us, that he just, it's like, just keeps inviting us, just keeps inviting us. Bring your hurt, bring your shame, bring your questions. I'm here, like, bring them to me.
Mm. That's so beautiful. As you were talking, I was thinking about how She asked for that living water. And it's at that point, he said, go call your husband. Mm-hmm. It was like she had given him permission by wanting and responding to him. It was like he was given permission to take it to the level that really would be the conversion point of bringing. And for so many of us, it's the same thing. It's like when we're safe enough, when we're hungry enough, to really let our darkness come to the surface and be there and not be afraid of it. And she, her response to him wasn't like, it's none of your business. She knew this, there was this process going on and it was happening. And her heart was being exposed. And I think in the clip by The Chosen, it's really a moment when he reveals himself as the Messiah and her whole countenance changes. Mm-hmm. So it's beautiful how the Lord does read our hearts, knows our hearts. And he can be very tender, and he just is always waiting for our response.
Mm-hmm. And it strikes me that he doesn't say that off the bat. You know, he's not the Messiah who comes to say, I know everything about you. Mm-hmm. I am all powerful. He waits until, like you were saying, that she has a level of trust with him. And I think probably at that point, she knows that he is not there to judge her or condemn her. Mm-hmm. And that when he speaks, if he had spoken those words about her husband's the very beginning, she probably would have felt judged. But to say them later, it's more, I see your heart. I know who you are. And I'm still here. I still chose to meet you at the well, even though I know all that you have mm-hmm. done, that you are still worth my time and my love. And in The Chosen, they obviously embellish because this is not in the scriptures. But after he says the lines from the scriptures about her husbands, he then goes into talking about each one of her husbands. And, you know, this one really hurt you. Then the next one, he was a man of God and you loved him, but you didn't feel worthy. And they really reveal in that, yes, you know, it's an imagination. We don't really know what happened during that. But it is true to Jesus that he knows our hearts and not just the superficial. So people can just say, oh, well, you've had five husbands. Aren't you an awful person? He's like, I see why this happened. I know your heart in this and why you made those choices. And mm-hmm. it's not just the superficial.
Mm-hmm. So I've used this passage a lot to teach about the interview in Unbound Ministry. Mm-hmm. It's the waiting. And there's some people that have incredible discernment and have impressions right from the beginning, like this person had an abortion or this person was raped. And you can see how Jesus would have used that information. He engaged. He just brought her to a place of relationship, a safe place. And then at the appropriate time, it came with, go call your husband. Mm-hmm. And she still had the freedom to lie. You know, she still had the freedom to resist it and move away. And she said, I have no husband, which was like almost like a staying on the outside. But Jesus knew that her heart was ready. And he said, in fact, you have had five husbands. And that information just shocked her. You are a prophet. Yeah, I'm talking to more than just a normal Jew here. He's a prophet. And it's like building and building towards the revelation that he's the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So good. Another thing that struck me was, we've talked a little bit about this, that he chose that time to meet her. Like there was a purpose and an intent to it that we know that, yes, he was thirsty and he was tired, but I think that we know that Jesus doesn't do anything by accident. It didn't just happen. He was at that well at that time and sent away the disciples. He knew he was going to meet her. And it reminds me back at our leadership conference a few years ago at Malvern Retreat House, Father Boniface Hicks gave a beautiful homily about Jesus dying on the cross. And we don't know exactly why he chose that date or that time, but he proposed the idea that maybe it was because of the thief, the one thief who was next to him, who he ends up saying, you're going to enter into heaven with me, so that he could be there with him and usher him into mm-hmm. heaven. And that Jesus is there for the one. The Lord is there for the one. And, you know, we hear those scriptures about the going for the lost coin or the lost sheep, but I feel like it brings reality to it when Jesus is interacting with an actual person that it's true. He really does care about the one, and he cares about you that deeply that mm-hmm. he would orchestrate it to meet the one.
Yeah. And he has an appointed time for every one of our listeners. So mm-hmm. You know, you might be going through a time of suffering and it seems like God is far away. And the only thing you can think about is your lost child or your very difficult marriage or someone that you lost to an early death or whatever it might be. And there's a process going on. And the Lord has, you know, he's sitting at the well and waiting. And you're going to get there. You're going to find your way there. And there's going to be this ongoing revelation that leads you into a deeper place of God's love. Jesus came to reveal the love of the Father, the eternal love of the Father. Without judgment or condemnation, he just came to reveal that love and reveal truth. And you're in the process, when we're going through seasons of suffering, we're in the process of embracing truth, finding truth, discovering the lies, seeing where we've gone wrong, what we've embraced that was less than the truth. So we're in this process of internal conversion. And in Lent, a season of fasting and almsgiving and purposely choosing to do things to deny ourselves, it's all part of the bigger picture. It's all a grace. And God has in mind that moment, that time when we will meet him sitting at the well in our life where he has the living waters for us. And he wants us to really understand how deeply, or he really wants us to understand what it means that he is our Savior. He is a Messiah. Not just as maybe 20 years ago we discovered him, but today, mm-hmm. You know, he really is our Redeemer.
Amen. And the last thing I want to share about that struck me is just the freedom and the lack of shame and humiliation and hiding that the woman experienced after encountering her Savior. So she came to that well to be by herself to avoid all the other women who came early in the morning. And what does she do after encountering Jesus? She runs, you know, to tell everybody in the town that she's encountered the Messiah. She's encountered the Savior who told her everything about her life. And there's no more shame. There's no more hiding. And that we can expect that gift too when we encounter the Lord. So I know that both for Neil and I, our prayer for each one of you who are listening is that you would encounter your Savior this Lent and in a deep and intimate and new way. And I thank all of you for joining us today. And I hope that this time of reflection helps you to enter a little more deeply into this season of Lent. If you want to find out more about Unbound and Heart of the Father Ministries, you can find us at heartofthefather.com. And if you are blessed by this podcast, please consider making a donation to Heart of the Father using the link in the show notes. May the Lord bless you abundantly. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about taking hold of the freedom you have been given in Christ, check out our website, heartofthefather.com, and find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
This is Matt,
Jen,
Rachel,
and Jacqueline saying goodbye until next time.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
If anyone hears my voice and opens the door,
I will come in to him and eat with him.
And he with me. Revelation 3:20.